He's trying to bring back the nickel soda pop. He's Jason Kirkman from southern New Mexico's Tularosa Basin with great music and family-styled entertainment. He's right here and he's right now on The Jason Kirkman Show.
That's right, that's me, Jason Kirkman, right here to bring you a world of fresh entertainment. You know why it's fresh? It's because it's been in the Tupperware for so long. I'm pulling it off the shelf, laying it on the cabinet, and splattering it on the plate just for you, this wonderful, beautiful, fantastic, not enough adjectives to describe it, day. It's a fantastic day. Hey, let's get things kicked off right with Johnny Horton. Here's a good old-fashioned tune right out of the Tupperware with North to Alaska, Johnny Horton.
Russia's own. North to Alaska, go north to Russia's own. Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92 with George Pratt, his partner, and brother Billy too. They crossed the Yukon River and found the Bonanza Gold below that old white mountain just a little southeast of Nome. Sam crossed the majestic mountains to the valleys far below. He talked to his team of Huskies as he mushed on through the snow. With the northern lights a-running wild in the land of the midnight sun. Yes, Sam McCord was a mighty man in the year of 1901. Where the river is winding, big nuggets they're finding. North to Alaska, I go north, the rush is on. Way up north,
to Alaska,
way up north,
Alaska.
North to Alaska, I go north, the rush is on. North to Alaska, I go north, the rush is on. George turned to Sam with his gold in his hand.
Said, Sam, you're looking at a lonely, lonely man. I'd trade all the gold that's buried in this land for one small band of gold to place on sweet little Jimmy's hand. 'Cause a man needs a woman to love him all the time.
Remember, Sam, a true love is so hard to find. I'd build for my Jenny a honeymoon home below that old white mountain just a little southeast of Nome, where the river is winding, big nuggets they're finding. North to Alaska, I go north, the rush is on. North to Alaska, I go north, the rush is on.
Way up north,
to Alaska.
Way up north,
to Alaska.
Way up north.
Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. You've heard that song before. Did you know that Richard Trentledge was a struggling songwriter in 1963 when he heard about a jingle contest being held by Oscar Mayer? Contestants composed original jingles for Oscar Mayer hot dogs. The winner's song would be used in commercials. Unfortunately, Trentledge found out about the contest only the day before the entries were due. But fortunately, it took him just a few minutes on a banjo ukulele to write the song, Oh, I Wish I Were an Oscar Mayer Wiener. That is what I'd truly like to be, 'cause if I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener, everyone would be in love with me. Trentledge won, of course, and his jingle is still in use today.
Rock when I go down, he did ride home. Rock when I go down, he did ride. He had me left by his side of home. Rock when I go down, he did ride home. Rock when I go down, he did ride home. Rock when I go down, he did ride. Rock when I go down, he did ride. Rock when I go down, he did ride. Rock when I go down, he did ride home.
Da 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 Courtin' and eatin' rye. Froggy went a-courtin' and
so round, so firm, so fully packed. That's my gal. So complete from front to back. That's my pal. Toasted by the sun. And I'm a son of a gun. If she don't make my 5 o'clock shadow, come around at one. You can bet your boots I'd walk a mile through the snow just to see her toothbrush smile. They mention on the radio. If you don't think she's a lot of fun, just ask the man that owns one. So round, so firm, so fully packed. That's my gal. So round, so firm, so fully packed. That's for me. She's just like a money back guarantee. Like a barfly goes for drink. Like the Bobby Sox goes for Frank. And just like Jesse James would go for money in the bank. From head to foot, she's perfect size. She's a whiz. Always wears a 45 gun, that is. She's got the look that's so impressive. She's got the pose that's so refreshing. So round, so firm, so fully packed. That's my gal. She's done told me that I'm top hand. It won't be long till she wears my brand. So round, so firm, so fully packed. That's my gal.
You're listening to the Jason Kurtman Show right here on 88.9 KHII Cloudcroft and at jasonkurtman.com. Check out that website. That's C-U-R-T-M-A-N. And also check out khiiradio.com. We'll be right back, but in the meantime, here's a little Mr. Excitement himself, Jackie Wilson with Reet Petit.
She's all right.
Well, I have a question for you. That question is this: who owns you? That's right. Think about that. Now, I'm not talking about giving your heart to God or Christ or anything like that. I'm talking about on this life, the pursuit of happiness, who owns you? I want to play a clip right now from my brother, Paul Kurtman, who's a state representative for the 105th District in Missouri, and he asked that question, who plays you? This was done at a freedom rally on the, I believe it was the Capitol of the, on the steps of the Capitol there in Missouri, and without further ado, here's that clip.
It's really good to be here. It's really good to see all of you here in support of overriding the governor's veto on such an important monumental bill. Can everybody hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You know, when we talk about issues like the Second Amendment, a lot of people look at it in just within the context of guns, whether or not you're for or against guns. But really, the issue is so much deeper than that. And I would say that we really need to go all the way back to some of the more important principles, such as property rights. Okay? We need to go back to some deeper principles, such as the principles of self-ownership. You know, our liberty hinges on the question of whether or not you believe you own yourself or whether or not you believe somebody else owns you. It's a fundamental principle of liberty. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, what kind of government you have. If you want to strive for liberty, you have to come to a conclusion on this particular issue, this particular matter. Now, I would argue that we own ourselves. I believe that our founding fathers were right when they wrote in the Declaration that all men are created equal and that we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these, I like how they said, among these rights, they didn't list all of our rights, they just said, among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, here's the reason we have government at all. Here's the whole purpose behind American government. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So my job description is a state representative. We have law enforcement here and in other parts of the state. Their job is law enforcement. Our job is, I spent several years in the United States Marine Corps as an infantryman. My job as a Marine was the same job that it really was the same job that I have right here as a state representative. Our job as members of the government, as operators or agents of the government, our job is to help keep people free. That's it. That's all we have to do. It's really a very simple job description. But oftentimes we get politicians and bureaucrats who try to expound on their job description, and before too long we have this mission creep, and next thing you know, they believe that they're in government for an entirely different reason. But really the reason that we have government, the whole reason we have government is just to help keep people free. It's to make sure that we identify that people own themselves, and it's not up to the government to decide what liberties you get and what liberties you don't get, because as John Adams called him, the great legislator of the universe was the one that told us what liberties we have. And the most that government can do, the most that we can do for each other, is protect each other's liberty, because it's mutually beneficial. So I believe that when we look at issues like the Second Amendment, the fact that we have a right to life, just by virtue of having two hands that I can ball up into fists to protect myself from anybody who would try to do my body harm, I have a right to defend myself. And our founding fathers were wise enough and had enough forethought to give us what we would call a vested right, where they wrote in the Constitution, in the Second Amendment, that we have a right to keep and bear arms. And I think that our founding fathers were very wise, and one of them said this, somebody much smarter than me said that a government that does not trust its citizens with arms is itself unworthy of trust. And so when we see these particular issues rise to the surface in the legislature, it's very important that we pay attention to who it is that believes you have a right to keep and bear arms, because that might, it might highlight some people that themselves might be unworthy of trust. I believe that to my core. But you know, the Second Amendment says that the federal government shall not deprive the people of the right or infringe on the people's right to keep and bear arms, right? What the Second Amendment does, legally speaking, what the Second Amendment does is it removes from the federal government any jurisdiction over firearms regulation. It is the Second Amendment, really, it's quite literally a prohibition placed on our federal government, okay? Now, do I believe that, you know, people try to say this, oh, you just want everybody walking around carrying a bazooka. You figured me out. That's what I'm going for. No, but I spent several years in the Marine Corps. And are there areas where the government, maybe at the state level, should just step in just to make sure that there's checks and balances? You know, those things are to be debated maybe, but only at the state level, not coming from the federal government, not coming from executive orders by our president. And I think that it's incumbent on our governor and our legislature and all members of our state government to make sure that they're standing up for a certain degree of sovereignty that the Constitution reserves to the people of Missouri. Yeah. I'm excited to go in here to vote to override this bill, and a lot of times politicians look for cover whenever they vote for yes and no. They want to go in, they want to vote the right way, but sometimes they just look for political cover because they want to vote the right way, but they just want to make sure that they, you know, have the right thing to say to people. Our cover to override this bill is the United States Constitution. That's it. My name's Paul Kurtman. Thank you very much for letting me be here today. I greatly appreciate it.
Some kids born with a silver spoon. I guess that I was born a little too simple. Hard knocks. All I ever knew was hard knocks. And I'm telling you, I said you better beware, cause I've had my share.
Hard knocks.
Some kids born rich as a king, but I was born without a doggone thing. But hard knocks, all I ever knew was hard knocks. And I'm telling you, I said you better beware, cause I've had my share.
Hard knocks.
I walked a million miles, I bet, tired and hungry and cold and wet. Heard that lonesome whistle blow from New York City down to Mexico. Some kids born fancy free, nobody never gave nothing to me. But hard knocks, all I ever knew was hard knocks. And I'm telling you, I said you better beware, cause I've had my share.
Hard knocks.
I walked a million miles, I bet, tired and hungry and cold and wet. I've heard that lonesome whistle blow, New York City down to Mexico. Some kids born fancy free, nobody never gave nothing to me. But hard knocks, all I ever knew was hard knocks. And I'm telling you, I said you better beware, cause I've had my share.
Hard knocks.
I said you better beware, cause I've had my share.
Hard knocks.
I said you better beware, cause I've had my share of hard knocks.
And now, for your listening pleasure, here's another episode of Jimmy Stewart as the Six Shooter.
In a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter, just one of the many fine programs brought to you Sundays on NBC. Later this evening, listen to the NBC Star Playhouse with one of your favorite stars. Hear Meet the Press, America's number one newsmaking program. And be sure to keep tuned for the dramatic story of communism in America on Last Man Out. It's a wonderful lineup of great programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
I sure don't know where the town ever got that name, Quiet City. Every time I came through it, it was anything but quiet. In the old days, the Apaches were always stirring up trouble. After the Indians were moved onto the reservation, there was still plenty of excitement. Oh, there was shooting practically every weekend. At least that's how it was when I was here last. Of course, that was, about 4 or 5 years ago, I guess. And now the town did seem sort of different at first glance. Anyhow, there were 20 or 30 new houses along the side of the creek there. The main street was a good 4 blocks longer than what I remember. Quiet City sure was growing up. There couldn't be any doubt about that. I figured the population must have reached the 1,000 mark, maybe even higher. And all that growing made the place seem, well, kind of settled and businesslike. To tell you the truth, Quiet City was almost quiet. Anyhow, I headed Scar over to the hitching rail in front of the sheriff's office and pulled up. Whoa, boy. The door of the office was open.
Something I can do for you? Britt!
Hello, Hank. How are you?
Britt, you old son of a gun. Why didn't you let a body know you were heading this way?
Well, I didn't know it myself till last week. Tim Parker came into some property over by Fulton. He asked me to sit on it for a couple months till he could take charge.
Oh, Fulton, huh?
Yeah, it's real nice.
Farming land.
Hmm. Well, Tim wasn't certain.
That's all there is over that way now. There ain't no more ranches, Britt. Just farms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess this part of the country's changing.
Yeah, some, I reckon.
Mm-hmm. I sure wouldn't have recognized Quiet City, Hank. It's not a small town anymore, is it?
No, we've done our share of growing. There ain't no doubt about that.
Well, more than your share, I'd say.
But the people are the same, Britt. Oh, maybe they buy more ready-made clothes than they used to and send most of their kids to school, but that's just a skin change. Underneath, they ain't no different.
Still giving you trouble, huh?
I've got them under a tight rein most of the time. But if I was to turn them loose, well, we'd be right back to where we was 20 years ago.
Oh, I don't know about
well,
that.
Well, I do. Mm-hmm. Well, what I mean is, Britt, you can't expect human nature to start improving overnight, you know.
Oh, that's true enough, yeah.
But some folks don't see it my way. They think that just because we've got churches and a schoolhouse and a railroad depot, we're like them towns back east. Peaceful and half asleep, where all you need a sheriff for is to lock up the Saturday night drunks. Why, back there, they don't even call them sheriffs. They call them peace officers. Well, I ain't no peace officer. I'm a sheriff. And this is still the West.
Sure.
I just dropped my guard once. That's all I'd need to do. They'd be killing each other right out there in the main street.
Yeah, well, I guess you'd be the best judge of that. How's Buzz? How's he?
Oh, about the same.
Full grown, I'll bet. How old is he now?
20, last birthday.
No.
Yeah, he's a big fella, too. 6'3".
Oh, well, taller than you are, huh?
An inch or so.
You made him a deputy yet?
What are you talking about?
Well, you always said that when the time came, you were going to fix it so Buzz could just slide right into your boots. Don't you remember that?
Yeah, I remember. But sometimes things don't work out the way a man plans.
Uh-huh.
Now, Buzz has got ideas of his own. Crazy fool ideas. I offered him a job working with me, but he wouldn't have none of it. He's aiming to leave Quiet City.
Oh, is that so?
And you know why, Britt? So's he can go to school.
Uh-huh, I say.
It ain't as if I didn't see to it that he got his learning. I promised his ma before she died. Promised her I'd see that he was brung up right. And I kept my word, too. I sent him the very first day Jane Weatherby started teaching. And I didn't take him out when he'd learned to just read and write and figure. No, I let him keep on till he got his diploma. I guess that's where I was wrong. I should have took him out before he got too smart for his own good.
Oh, now, heck, now. The more education a man gets, the better he's off.
I ain't so sure of that. Life ain't in books. How much schooling did you have?
Well, a little more wouldn't have done me any harm.
You've made out all right, and so have I. So would Buzz if he'd come to his senses and stay here where he belongs.
When's he leaving?
He was getting his things together when I left the house this morning. Maybe he's gone by now for all I know.
Oh, no, he wouldn't do that, not without saying goodbye to you.
Britt.
Yeah?
I was just thinking. If Buzz still is here, if he hasn't left yet, maybe you could talk.
Oh, now, hold on.
He won't listen to me, Britt.
No,
but
no.
If you was to...
Hello, Pa.
What do you want, Buzz?
Well, I'd like to speak to you if you're not too busy, that is.
For a minute, Hank didn't answer. He just stared at the leather satchel in his son's hand. Buzz was a big fellow, all right. Husky, plenty of muscles. But somehow his face didn't match his body, especially his eyes. They were kind of tired looking. And he kept blinking as though he wasn't used to the daylight. And there were wrinkles in his forehead, too. Not the kind you get from riding against the sun. Just little creases that made him look older than he really was.
Well, Buzz, with all your fancy education, ain't you got manners enough to speak to Britt Ponsett?
Oh, I'm sorry I didn't recognize you. It's been quite a spell.
Well, I can't say I blame you, Buzz. I wouldn't have known you in a month of Sundays. Well, if you'll excuse me, I...
No, there's no reason for you to go, Brett. I just wanted to tell Pa goodbye. I'm taking the 4 o'clock train east, Pa.
I see.
Well, I'll be back someday.
That's mighty considerate of you.
Well, so long.
Just you hold up a minute, young fella. You won't pay no attention to me, I know that. Well, Britt here ain't got no axe to grind. If he says you're loco, if he says you're going off on a wild goose chase, maybe then you'll...
Now, heck, this isn't any of my concern, and even if it was...
You ain't heard it all, Britt. You don't know what he aims to do with his extra schooling. A lawyer. That's what he wants to be.
Oh?
That's what I'm going to be, Pop.
Tell him the rest of it, Buzz. Tell him how you're going to come back here and practice law. Ain't that rich, Britt? Quiet City is going to have a full-fledged lawyer.
Look, Pa, do we have to go all over that again?
Why, you'll be the laughingstock. This town ain't got no use for a lawyer. Never will have. A sheriff. That's what the town will need, a new sheriff. I ain't getting any younger, Britt. First thing you know, I'll be 60. A 60-year-old sheriff won't be able to hold folks in check. Not for long.
Yeah, sure, they'll need a new sheriff, and I'm sorry that I'm just not the man for the job.
You could be that man if you wanted
yes,
to.
Yes, but I don't want to, Pa. I want to be a lawyer, and I'll be more used to the town that way.
Ah.
Oh, look, you've got to understand, these are different times.
What's so different about them?
Everything. You think we're still living on the frontier. You think that star in your vest and that six-gun in your holster is still the only law around here. Well, you're wrong, Pa. You're dead wrong. This isn't the frontier anymore. You're not the law. You're just supposed to carry it out.
Ain't that what I've been doing all these years?
Pa, look, I'm not saying that your way isn't what the town needed once, but your job is done. You can't expect me to take up where you left off. I'm not you, Pa. This isn't the same town it was. These people aren't the same ones who settled here 20 years ago.
Britt, you see what I mean, Britt.
Well, maybe he's right, Heck.
You think everything's changed, too?
Well, some things, anyway. Well,
what about folks themselves? Deep down inside, they're still the same. Some of them are decent and law-abiding, and others as mean as the devil and always will be.
You just won't believe the town's civilized now, will you?
You'll see how civilized it is when the chips are down. You'll see, Mr. Lawyer.
Well, looks like we just don't agree, Pa, and we never will, so... It's nice seeing you again, Britt.
Yeah, good seeing you, Buzz.
So long, Pa. Good luck.
Hey, Buzz, the old man there?
Yeah, I hear, Doc.
I'll tell him to get out to Jace Martin's place. There's been a shooting. Pipe Clapper done it. Folks say that Jace is hurt bad. Now tell your Pa to get right out there.
Okay, Doc, I'll tell him.
There you are. That's how much Quiet City has changed, Buzz. Folks still shooting each other, still taking the law in their own hands. Sure are civilized, ain't they?
I'll go with you, Pa.
What for? So as you can advise Pipe Clamper of his lawful rights when I arrest him? Get out of my way, Buzz. I've got work to do.
Ain't been a shooting, Brett, for over 2 years, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, I reckon there's been one today.
Yeah. Looks like Pa was right. All my talk about this town growing up, it's just what it was, talk.
Maybe so.
Well, I better get over to Jace Norton's and see if Pa needs help. He's not as young as he used to be if he tries to take Pipe Clamper alone.
Well, do you think he'd let you help him, even if he needed it?
No, I guess he wouldn't. But somebody... Britt?
No, he wouldn't appreciate me interfering in his business either.
Well, now, if you just happen to be riding out east of town, sort of stopped off...
East, huh?
Yeah. The Norton Ranch is right next to old Miss Bradley's place.
Oh, is that so?
Mm-hmm.
That's so, huh. Well, that's quite a coincidence.
Oh?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was figuring on dropping in on Maddie Bradley before I left town. Maybe have supper with her if she invited me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's getting on toward supper now.
Oh, you don't say. Time sure does fly, doesn't it? I had no idea that late.
We'll return to James Stewart as the Six Shooter in just a moment. But right now, I want you to hear something that may startle you. At least, I hope it will. It's simply this. Within the next 20 seconds, a fire will break out somewhere in the United States.
Lives may be lost, property damaged, homes or buildings destroyed. Yes, there are 4,600 fires in America each day of the year. They kill 11,000 persons and disfigure or severely burn thousands more. By obeying a few simple rules of fire prevention from now on, you and I can protect ourselves and our families from this devastating menace. Rule one is an obvious one. Don't smoke in bed or discard lighted cigarettes carelessly. Rule two, clean out old newspapers, magazines, and other inflammable debris. Rule three, use only those cleaning fluids which will not burn. And last but not least, be careful with matches. Above all, keep them out of the reach of small children. Remember, it doesn't pay to gamble with fire. The odds are against you every time. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Hank was standing on the front porch of Jace Norton's house when I rode in the yard, and there was a woman sitting on a rocking chair talking to him. Her face was dead white, just like all the blood had been drained out of her cheeks. For a minute or so, Hank just stood there nodding, and then he shifted his weight and noticed me out of the corner of one eye.
Come on up, Britt.
Easy, boy. Easy. I was just on my way over to Miss Bradley's. I thought...
This is Britt Ponsett, Mrs. Norton.
Ponsett.
I'm pleased to meet you, ma'am. I sure hope your husband
is... Jace is dead.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am.
Pipe Clamper murdered him. I seen him do it. I seen it all through the kitchen window.
I'm sorry.
How did it start, Mabel?
They's arguing about some cows that had strayed onto our land. Pipe said Jace was trying to steal them, that he'd fixed her fences so they'd come through. But it wasn't true, Sheriff. It wasn't true.
Sure, sure.
Jace was aiming to take the cows back. He told me at breakfast this morning I've got to run some of Pipe's cattle back to him. That's what Jace said at breakfast this morning. Hadn't had time to do it yet. Been busy with chores and things. Mare was foaling. Jace hadn't had time, but he was going to take him back, he told me so.
No. Don't get yourself all upset, Mabel.
I heard him quarreling out and back, Pipe and Jace. I didn't think nothing of it. Pipe's always quarreling with everybody. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
And the next thing I knew, I heard a shot. I thought Pipe was just trying to scare Jace. Until I saw Jace fall down.
Pipe right off toward his own place?
No. Toward the canyon. Over that way. I remember asking myself why is Pipe heading toward the canyon. His ranch is the other way. It just hadn't dawned on me yet. What he'd done, that he was running away.
Yes. Well, it's turning chilly. You better go inside now, Mabel.
Yeah?
Doc Anderson is sending somebody out to fix supper and stay with you tonight.
You'll find Pipe, Sheriff. You'll find him. Bring him back.
Sure, I'll find him. You want me to help you up?
I can manage.
Here now, here we are. That's there.
I'm pleased to have met you, Mr. Ponsett.
Thank you, ma'am.
I've heard of you, haven't I?
He's the six shooter, Mabel.
Six shooter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course, that's why. I'm glad you're here, Mr. Ponsett. I'm glad you're going with the sheriff. I wouldn't want Pipe to kill somebody else. Even if he wasn't punished for what he did to Jace. I wouldn't want there to be another killing. I'm glad you're going with the sheriff.
Well, looks like I've got me a deputy after all.
Well, Buzz was willing to come, Hank. He wanted to.
I'd rather have you, Britt. Let's go.
Well, we picked up Pipe Clamper's trail about sundown. At least it was the only fresh trail heading toward the canyon, so we figured Pipe had made it. So the next couple of hours was pretty dark, so we had to move slow, keeping our eyes glued to the ground. Then along about 8 o'clock, the moon came out, and we could make better time. We were in the canyon now. The way the hoof marks were spaced, we could tell that Pipe's horse was getting tired, and Pipe had to be forced to ride a little easier.
Looks like we might be gaining on him, Britt.
Yeah. Any place around here he could hole up?
An old trading post about a mile ahead. Been deserted since the Indians moved south. He could be there.
Uh-huh.
Britt.
Yeah?
Maybe you think it's funny I wanted you to go along with me tonight, but... Well, it's not that I couldn't bring Pipe Clamper in alone, but there's more to it than that. It's when we get back to town, that's when I'll need you.
Oh?
You see, Jason Norton was a well-liked man. He lived in Quiet City, practically from the very beginning. Everybody knew him. Everybody liked him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But nobody has any use for Pipe Clamper. Like I told you, some fellows are just mean. Pipe's one of them. Anyway, what I'm getting at is this. Jace has a brother, Abe Norton. And he'll be fighting mad when he finds out what happened today. He'll be killing mad. And the whole town will go along with him.
Mm-hmm. You mean they might try and lynch Pipe? Huh?
They'll try.
Uh-huh. Well, you can't be certain of that, Hank.
I know the town, Britt. There hasn't been any trouble for 2 years. And that's a long time. A lot of pressure builds up in 2 years. Now, Jace's murder, that'll set folks off. I hope you'll be willing to give me a hand.
Well, you know I'll do what I can, Hank.
It's him, Britt. He's up there behind the tree.
Well, the bullet smashed into Heck's leg and tore him right out of the saddle. I dived off Scar into a cover behind a rock. There was a clump of trees hanging to the side of the canyon about 100 yards ahead. I could make out something that looked like a building with a carved totem pole out in front of it. I figured that was the trading post Heck had been telling us about, but the shots weren't coming from inside. Whoever was firing was using the Indian post for a shield. You all right, Heck?
It's just my leg, Britt. Afraid I can't move it, though.
Well, I'll get over to you.
No. You stay where you are. I'm out of his range. There's a tree between me and him. But it looks like you'll have to take him, Britt. I said I wouldn't need you till we got back to town, but it looks like...
It sounded like Heck had passed out. I raised my head up to the edge of the boulder. When I couldn't see Heck, there was a great big fir tree right in front of him. Well, that meant Pipe Clamper couldn't see him either. He sure could see me, though. That moonlight was just pouring down on that rock where I was hiding, and if I so much as moved, I was right in plain sight. I waited a couple minutes. I hadn't done any firing yet. Maybe he'd think I was hit. Maybe he'd come over after me. Yeah, that was my best chance. I listened hard. I couldn't hear anything. He was still behind that totem pole, still playing it safe. As long as the moon kept me pinpointed, I looked up in the sky just in time to see a great big cloud float toward the orange circle over my head. A big white cloud, big enough to give me a minute of dark. It was still moving, sweeping across the stars now. And then it hit the edge of the moon. I swung out from behind the rock and I headed toward the trees between me and the trading post. Pipe heard me all right. Not in time, though. Not until I was up beside one of the trees, about 30 yards from where he was waiting. And the sky was beginning to whiten up now, and I saw Pipe's arm inching around the edge of the totem pole. I knew a slug in his arm wasn't going to be enough. I pushed up onto my haunches and I ran forward. He raised his gun, ready to get off another shot. I twisted one side and let fire. His shot was close, but he missed me. Well, I hadn't done much better. I crawled along, keeping myself as flat as I could, moving real slow. Not more than a foot every 2 or 3 minutes, and straining my ears, trying to hear him breathe. He was only about 10 feet away now. And there weren't any more trees between us, just open space. I pressed my belly down
with it. And then I saw his gun. A little beam of moonlight bounced off the barrel. And I saw the shadow of his head easing across the ground beside that totem pole. Drop it, Pipe.
What?
Now get in your feet.
He stood up. And his face came into the moonlight. And he took a step forward. And then his left hand jerked out toward me. My bullet hit his shoulder and spun him around. And he crashed into the totem pole. And for a second, I thought it was going to topple over with him, but it held firm.
What? Britt.
Hey, morning, Hack.
Morning.
It's almost noon, as a matter of fact. Doc Anderson said you ought to be coming too by now.
My leg.
No, it's going to be all right. It'll be all right. Doc says for you just not to fuss about it. It'll be all right.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing me home, Britt. I don't know how you manage, but...
Hello, Pa. How you feeling?
Fine, Buzz. Just first rate. I see you didn't leave town.
Nope, didn't leave.
Well, I guess maybe what Pipe done wasn't all of the bad. Not if it brung you to your senses. Something, anyhow. You killed him, Britt?
No. He's kind of worse for wear, but he'll be patched up in time for a trial.
Yeah. Well, where is he?
The doc's looking after him.
You mean he ain't in jail? You mean nobody's guarding him but Doc Anderson?
Well, we weren't very worried about him running off.
That ain't what I'm talking about. Britt, I told you what had happened. I told you what Jace Norton's brother would do.
Oh, that. Well, you see, heck, Abe Norton's already been around. He's gone back to his ranch now.
Gone back?
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, folks just wouldn't pay any attention to him. Sure, they all feel real bad about Jace, like you said they would, and they all think that Pipe deserves a hanging, but they're pretty convinced that's what the judge will give him.
The judge? But that don't make sense.
Well, it's the truth, Pa. Everybody's satisfied that there'll be a fair trial and that Pipe will get what's coming to him.
Why, in the old days, they wouldn't have stood still for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess these aren't the old days.
Then Buzz was right. That talk about Quiet City being civilized?
Don't fret yourself about it now, Pa.
Oh, it just don't seem possible. This ain't the same town. These folks ain't the same. Well, what happened to them, Britt?
Oh, I don't know. I guess maybe a town grows up just like a person, Hank. And I guess maybe you had something to do with it, too.
Me?
Mm-hmm. You see, somebody taught him to respect the law and to try to live up to it. And if it wasn't you, I sure don't know who it was. Well, Buzz stayed around Quiet City until Heck was on his feet again. And then Heck himself sent the boy east to college. That was, four years ago, yeah. The last time I was through that way, Buzz had come home. You see, Buzz was running for county attorney. Yes, sir. And the way Heck was managing his campaign, well, if that election didn't turn out to be a landslide, I sure missed my guess.
Until recent years, misconceptions prompted many to feel that a diagnosis of heart disease was a death sentence. But today, thanks to medical science and the educational work of your Heart Association, we are learning that most people with heart disease can work and lead happy lives. But the real answer to heart disease lies in heart research and community heart programs, which can be expanded through your continued support of the Heart Fund. This is not only Valentine's Day, but it's Heart Sunday. So make it a point to give to your local Heart Association now. And remember, when you help your Heart Fund, you help your heart. The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Robert Griffin, Lamont Johnson, and Will Wright. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Oh, by the way, you'll be interested in knowing that The Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Services. This is John Wall speaking. Listen to Jan Murray in Sunday at Home on the NBC Radio Network.
Good time this last week. I had a birthday. That's right. I had a birthday. I turned 43 years young. And I got to tell you, whoever says you don't have to work on your birthday doesn't have Facebook. Let me tell you, because I got so many messages and letters and phone calls throughout the day that I responded to them all. I feel like I just, that's what I do. But I got one phone call. I was on another line and I got a phone call and it said I had a voice message. So I came back and checked the message. I got to tell you, it was a little different. I'm going to play that message for you right now. See if you can't figure out who this is.
I don't even need. I'm not going to leave my name and number, Jason. I just want to wish you happy birthday to Jason. Happy birthday to Jason. Happy birthday, dear Jason. Happy birthday to you. Hey, I think I'm ready to cut my CD. What do you think? Happy birthday, buddy. Bye.
That was my good friend and yours, Bob Flott. That was his voicemail that he left me. I got to tell you, his birthday was the day after mine. So happy birthday to you too, Bob. Happy birthday. I won't tell him how many years young you are. I'll let you do that. Hey, we'll be right back in just a few minutes right after this.
Put the blame on me.
Yeah.
I feel so good. us goodnight. So if they tell us we don't have the right to put the blame, put the blame on me. What I feel is deep inside. This is real and I won't hide. Go ahead and use my name. I'll be proud to take the blame. You just did what I made you do. You love me and I love you too. So if the way they talk can bother you, put the blame, put the blame.
To rise because age is just a number. At age one, future jazz great Buddy Rich started drumming professionally as part of his parents' vaudeville act. That's right, just age one. At age three, Mozart learned to play his first instrument, the harpsichord. At age five, future rock star Tori Amos was accepted to the Peabody Academy of Music in Baltimore, its youngest student ever. At age six, Shirley Temple became Hollywood's top box office star, and she remained there at number one until she was the very old age of nine. At age 13, Mario Andretti started racing cars. At age 14, Buffalo Bill Cody became a writer for the Pony Express. At age 23, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg became the youngest billionaire in history. Age is just a number. It's true. Age is just a number. And Bob, you remember that as you're celebrating, celebrating the few days after your birthday, I should say. You know what? You should go out and celebrate life, even though it's not your birthday, maybe, or maybe it is. Go out and pretend you're a teenager. Go out and take the wife, dress yourself up, polish off the shoes, put on your best tie, put some grease in your hair, and run out and get yourself a malt shake or a pop or a hamburger and have a good time with your wife, that special person in your life, and pretend that you're in teenage heaven. I'm Jason Kirkman, and this is the Jason Kirkman Show. We'll close out with Eddie Cochran, one of the greatest. Teenage heaven. Go out and have yourself a ball. And remember, I'm bringing back the nickel soda pop. Been listening to the Jason Kirkman Show, and I'd like to remind you once again before this song ends, go out and make your own teenage heaven. It doesn't matter how old you are. Go out, have a blast. Remember the nickel soda pop. Remember the smiles. Remember the dance moves. Put it all on and have a blast. Show somebody else how to do it. Have a great day.